Now, as we come to chapter 4 here of the Song of Solomon, he says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love." Now, this entire chapter is the song of the bridegroom. And this was Solomon's love for this girl that he'd met up in the hill country. Brought her to town, as it were. I guess she had shoes on for the first time. And now wearing lovely dresses, sitting at the table of Solomon. What a privilege she had, and she's rejoicing in it. Now, we today, as believers, as we read this, we see in it that what the Spirit of God was doing was trying to show to us Christ's love for us. And we see in that a very wonderful and personal relationship. Now, I think that you find in this chapter the love of Christ actually for His church today. And His love for the individual believers. This is the love song of the bridegroom, or the love song of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that is quite obvious, that that is the thing that He has in mind here, for the very simple reason that if you look, for instance, at verse 7, He's speaking now to the bride, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Well, is this Christ speaking of the church and of each believer, speaking to you and to me? Yes. Well, that means then we're going to have to get perfect, does it not? Oh, no. Let's turn over to Ephesians, that familiar passage. I've already quoted it several times. But he says here, "As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Now, he's already cleansed us by the blood, and through his sacrifice we have the forgiveness of sins, so that there's no charge brought against us. But he's going to sanctify us too, and cleanse us. How? Well, with the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Why? Because he will be the one that will make the church without spot or wrinkle. We'll be seen in Christ, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It shall be holy and without blemish. And now he can look at the church and say, "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee." Why? Because he removed the spot as far as the church is concerned and as far as the believer is concerned. Now, let me just lift out several things in this chapter, because from now on I'm having to move a little faster. I gained a little momentum last time, and we'll pick up a little again today. And I trust that you will go through the rest of this marvelous book. Spend time with verses like this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to your heart, and ask the Spirit of God to make it real to you. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon. "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." Now you will find here a very minute description of this girl. I mean, it describes parts of her body, if you please. And after all, in marriage, there are two extreme viewpoints, I think, today. One is that the emphasis is put upon sex, and the other emphasis is that there's no emphasis put on sex, that it's a high holy state that sex doesn't become involved, and then the others are treated like the animals, that we're to live like animals. Well, between those two extreme viewpoints is marriage, and it's when the bridegroom holds the bride in his arms, that's when the love, the physical love, is consummated. Now, here you have that description, and again, it's a minute description. every young fella has looked into the eyes of some girl and told her what beautiful eyes that she has. I'm sure that we never speak of other members of the body quite like that. I told my wife when I met her, she was a young school teacher, and she had black hair, black as a raven's wing, and dark brown eyes. Now, today, there's some gray in that hair. But back yonder, oh, I want to tell you, I thought it was beautiful, you see. Now, I told her what beautiful hair you have and eyes. I never told her what beautiful big toes that she's got, because I really don't think she's got beautiful big toes. But nevertheless, here is a minute description, and it reveals the fact that today the Lord Jesus Christ not only, my friend, loves you, but the Lord Jesus knows you. Why don't you quit kidding yourself? You're not kidding him at all. And that means you can just go to him and tell him everything that's in your heart. No use trying to cover up. No use trying to use subterfuge. No use trying to beat around the bush. You can tell him everything that's on your heart. Tell him all about your weakness. Tell him about that sin. Tell him about the things that are in your heart and life. And that's the way to deal with these things. I noticed today there's a lot of this gimmickry, and my, how popular it is. People pay money to try to get answers to questions. How do I get rid of an inferiority complex? I have news for you. You don't get rid of it. The Lord Jesus, 1,900 years ago, is the only one that has an answer to that. And as a psychologist told me, a wonderful Christian man out at USC here in Southern California years ago, he said to me, you can't get rid of that inferiority complex, as we psychologists can shift it from one place to another. But the only place you get rid of it is at the cross of Christ. And I'm not sure that a lot of people ought to get rid of the inferiority complex. I think you ought to have it there until you come to Christ. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless till we come to him. And then there are these questions that you hear today. How can I get rid of an inferiority complex? Well, my friend, I have an answer for you. You don't get rid of that inferiority complex. It's a good thing to have. I'm tired of meeting arrogant, proud Christians today. I wish some of them had a feeling of inferiority. I'd do them good. May I say to you, you don't get rid of it. You rejoice in Christ. I can do all things in Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, friends, none of this gimmickry today, none of these little rules that are being given, that's not the solution. Oh, I know. It'll give you temporary relief. Well, why don't you take an aspirin tablet? And they cost less than some of these things are costing today. And then someone says, how can I get rid of a bad habit? And I just go and confess, and then I'm back doing it again. Well, let me say to you, he's rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. I'm confident that for years I went to him 100, I must have gone 200 or 300 times to tell him about something. And you know, he was rich in mercy. And that means he's got a whole lot of it. And it was wonderful to go to him, and yet failure after failure. And you know what? When the time came, he gave the victory in his way. And not by some little gimmickry today that men have worked out, because our Lord moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And he doesn't always follow your little rule or man's little rule, and you have this wonderful thing.